Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Major League Baseball pitcher Tommy John was an all-star, a Cy Young candidate, a paragon of longevity in 26 seasons. The left-hander won 288 games. For all his on-field success, he is better known for the revolutionary ligament surgery now called by his name. One quarter of Major League pitchers today wear a scar along their elbows from Tommy John surgery. More than half of these surgeries are now being performed on teenagers. Baseball columnist Jeff Passan calls it an epidemic and is sounding the alarm. Baseball, he says, is blowing out its most valuable asset. This hour On Point, the power and mystery of great pitching and what's going on with the golden arms of baseball. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you ready for opening day 2016? Why are so many pitchers now blowing out their arms, those billion-dollar elbows? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Kansas City is Jeff Passan, lead baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports, author of the new book, The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. Ken Burns, no stranger to baseball, calls it a stunning expose of the hidden story behind the most frequent operation performed on the most important players in the most important game in our country. A little baseball prejudice there, but we'll take it days before opening day. Here we've got another reviewer saying, must reading for every manager, general manager, pitcher, and most especially every parent whose child has 100-mile-per-hour dreams, Jane Levy at the New York Times. And Bob Costas says, looks at the baseball problem that in recent years appears to approach a crisis. Ken, Jeff Passan, thank you very much for being with us today.
And thank you for having me, Tom.
You have really gone out and dug into this. That one in four elbows going out, or with Tommy John surgery now, is kind of mind blowing. Is that major league? Is it all ball players? What's the number set there?
That's major league ball players, but this surgery is not limited to them. The scariest part of all this is that Tommy John surgery is happening more frequently on children now than it is adults. And that's part of what got me looking into this book. I have a son who's 8 years old now, and I wanted to understand, if not only for him and not for his teammates, but for all the kids out there, what the risks are and why this is happening. And I ended up finding that this isn't just a major league issue where you've got millionaires blowing their arms out, but this is an issue with kids across the country, and that baseball's youth system is completely broken and needs to change.
How is it possible that what you call children, right up into teenage years, obviously, but are blowing out their elbows and need Tommy John surgery? I mean, we associate it, at least I have, historically, with pitchers who have been around a while, who have worked that arm, who have got a lot of, you know, wins under their belt. And at a certain point, you know, look at Tommy John himself. He had a long career there, plus the surgery. Why kids? What's happening?
The culture changed, and a lot of it has to do with single sport specialization, where these kids are playing only one sport and picking that sport at a very young age. And so you've got year-round baseball happening, particularly in warm weather states. And there have been studies done by the American Sports Medicine Institute, which is a think tank down in Birmingham that looks at arm injuries, saying that playing year-round baseball makes you five times likelier to get some kind of an arm injury, whether it is an elbow or a shoulder injury. And when you've got that year-round baseball that is being encouraged not just by parents, not just by coaches, but ostensibly by Major League Baseball, which is looking for its scouts to go and see players all year round, it just makes for a system that is pushing all of the wrong things and that is incentivizing this bad behavior. And so, you know, as much as I say this is on the parents and coaches, Major League Baseball is culpable too, and it needs to step up and change policies in order to protect what's coming into its industry. Because the greatest predictor of a future injury is a past injury. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a generation of kids who are getting hurt at 15, 16, 17 coming into the major leagues, the chances of them pitching until they're 30 years old are not good.
I mean, an elbow is not a brain, but is this Major League Baseball's version or counterpart to the NFL's concussion crisis?
I think the differences, like you said, are, yes, this is not something that's going to harm somebody for the rest of his life. This is not something that's going to make him incapacitated as he gets older. And the second
It might for pitching at a certain point.
Yeah, it will prevent pitching. Mm-hmm. It will prevent pitching. The second point is, I think the NFL still is trying to deny, at least until recently, the association between concussions and chronic encephalic CTE, traumatic encephalopathy. Yep. And baseball, thankfully, as a sport, is starting to try and do something about this. It started an organization last year called Pitch Smart, which is laying out guidelines for children as far as how many pitches they really should be throwing at what particular age. And beyond that, there's research being done at the major league level where they're taking all of the injury data from all of the pitchers and sending it to some epidemiologists at Johns Hopkins and hoping to find some kind of a pattern that says, okay, well, maybe this is why elbows are blowing out at the rate they are.
Jeff, we're going to have listeners who are super fans of baseball who know exactly why and how this happens, and others who may not, and others who are fans who may not know. Slow the video way down for us and give us the kind of structural dynamics of what's going on in this super high-speed, powerful pitching that puts all that stress on that ligament.
It's a great question. The kinetic chain is what it's called, and that is the idea that you are generating power throughout your body, and it is going all the way up from your backside, through your hips, up your back, loading into your shoulder. And this is potential energy. All of this potential energy is loaded into your shoulder. And the
all
fastest—
of that, and the wind-up before the pitch. That's what you're accumulating. You're aggregating.
That's exactly what you're doing. And when it's in the shoulder and you take the step forward and your foot lands and your hips start to turn, your shoulder, if you see it in slow motion, your shoulder essentially bends backward. And that's called external rotation.
Okay.
And it reaches a certain point of maximum external rotation where it's almost flat to the ground.
Wow.
And then it starts going the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. It's more than a 180 degree going forward. And that's called internal rotation. And the internal rotation of the shoulder is the single fastest movement that the human body can make. It's almost 8,000 degrees per second.
Which brings a kind of tsunami whiplash down to the elbow.
That's exactly right. And in the past, shoulders were getting injured far, far more than elbows. But Major League Baseball has done a good job being more conscientious about understanding that building up the shoulder muscles through exercises and through other such things hasn't eliminated shoulder injuries, but it's done a pretty good job of preventing rotator cuff tears and labrum tears and the other catastrophic injuries you can have in the shoulder.
So hit the gym a little more and maybe the elbow will be safe too, or is there something that happens in that last move of the arm that just is irresistible?
That's the problem, Tom. You can't strengthen ligaments. And what the arm does is it seeks out the weakest point. And the weakest point used to be the shoulder because it was not strong. But now, if you have a strong shoulder, all of that potential energy is turning into kinetic energy, and it is going down. And the ulnar collateral ligament, which is the ligament that will snap, necessitating Tommy John surgery, it's just a little 2-inch triangular band that holds the upper and lower arms together. And it is not built to bear the brunt of these high velocities that pitchers are throwing. Now, it's not just velocity that does this. It's overuse, as in the case of kids. It can be bad pitching mechanics, which means the motions that you're going through are inherently stressful on the arm. It's a number of things. But when that ulnar collateral ligament gets stressed too much, at some point, it is going to just break because it is the weakest part of the throwing arm.
It's amazing pitching going on, but it's taking a toll. 2015 Atlanta Braves pitcher John Smoltz became the first to have returned from Tommy John surgery to be named to the Hall of Fame. And here he was from the podium in Cooperstown, sending a pretty stern message to parents of young baseball pitchers.
I want to encourage the families and parents that are out there to understand that this is not normal to have a surgery at 14 and 15 years old. That you have time, that baseball is not a year-round sport. That you have an opportunity to be athletic and play other sports. Don't let the institutions that are out there running before you guarantee in scholarship dollars and signing bonuses that this is the way.
Is there a crisis, Jeff? Is that where we're headed here? Is it arrived?
I think there is a crisis, and I think there has been a crisis. I think if you look at the current generation of pitchers that have gotten into the major leagues, whether it's Matt Harvey with the New York Mets or Steven Strasburg with the Washington Nationals or Jose Fernandez with the Miami Marlins, these are transcendent talents, and all three of them have had Tommy John surgery. And it's not just them. It's the kids coming up. Lucas Giolito, who is the best pitching prospect in baseball right now with the Washington Nationals, had Tommy John surgery right after he graduated high school.
We are going to talk with one of the top Tommy John surgeons in the country in just a few minutes. We'll talk with a pitcher who's had it twice, what it's meant to him and his career. Jeff Passan has really dug in to those golden arms of baseball and where very young, intense pitching and more of it over professional careers is taking all those elbows straight into Tommy John territory. His new book is The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. He's with us from Kansas City. You can join us. What do you see coming this season in baseball? What do you see coming for elbows out there? 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Here's Steve Wynn with The Closer. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Almost at Major League Baseball's opening day here, Monday, we are looking at the most valuable asset in all of sports, says my guest today, the arm of the Major League pitcher. And what's going on with the elbows in that very high-speed, very powerful pitching, and at very young age now, Tommy John surgery all over the place. It is shortening careers. People are wondering how many more Hall of Famers are we going to have among those who have had it? One in four pitchers now having the surgery. Look for that scar on their elbow. Jeff Passan is with us from Kansas City, lead baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports. His new book is The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. Here's the man himself, Tommy John. This was October 8th, 1977. Here he is striking out Bake McBride for the final out as the Dodgers advance to the World Series, 77.
1-2 the count to Bake McBride. He struck him out. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the National League Eastern Division champions. Tommy John going the distance. A brilliant job by Tommy John.
With the surgery that started there, now a lot of it out there. And, well, here you can see, here's a moment. The Nationals right-hander Steven Strasburg underwent Tommy John surgery 2010, injured his forearm in a game against the Phillies. Game announcers Johnny Holliday and Rob Dibble described what they could see happening on the field.
Could be the elbow, could be his forearm, could be a little fatigue. Don't want to speculate.
Well, you can see by the grimace on his face, whatever it was, caught his attention, and he is going to leave the ballgame.
Boy, it's good to have that sound of summer back in our ears, but it's not good if you're the pitcher and this is happening to you. Here's Marlins ace Jose Fernandez underwent Tommy John surgery 2014. Last year, he talked with Fox Sports Florida describing the moment when he was on the mound and knew something was wrong with his elbow.
I went into the game knowing that my arm wasn't right, with a pain in my elbow, but I didn't think that was a big deal. And I went in the third inning, I think, and I was talking to Shine, the video guy. You know, I told him, hey, I'm done. He goes, what do you mean you're done? It's like, yeah, I'm done for the season. My elbow is done.
He knew, done for the season. You can join us this hour. What makes a great pitcher to you, the greatest pitchers? Is it about muscle? Is it about form? Is it about guile, the mental game? And what do you make of the fact that a quarter of pitchers out there today have had Tommy John surgery, have that Tommy John scar, that even teenagers, kids, are going under the knife for Tommy John now? John in Red Oak, Iowa. John, you are on with Jeff.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Jeff. An obvious solution to this problem would be to decrease the number of innings pitched, right? But a lot of pitchers have incentives in their contracts for things like number of starts, number of innings pitched per year, number of wins. So you'd actually have to change contracts to solve that problem. Although, ironically, if I was a manager, I'd love to have pitchers decrease less, because it's known that the more times a batter sees a pitcher in a game, the higher their average goes. So there's a lot of conflicting things going on here.
John, I appreciate your call. Jeff, what about it? Right there in the contract, is it sort of written in that we're headed for Tommy John territory because of the incentive to pitch and pitch a lot?
Well, there have actually been Tommy John clauses in contracts. John Lackey was a pitcher and signed with the Boston Red Sox for 5 years and $82.5 million. And there was a clause in the contract that said if he undergoes Tommy John surgery, the team gets an option year at the league minimum salary. And that's exactly what happened. I believe after his second season, he needed Tommy John surgery. And last year, he ended up being traded to the St. Louis Cardinals and played for about $500,000. And so teams have become so leery of it at this point that with some players, they feel like it's almost an inevitability.
I want to go right now to a surgeon who's been called Super Surgeon. Baseball Prospectus calls him that. He's just stepped out of an operating room to talk with us from Los Angeles. Dr. Neil Elatrosh, sports medicine surgeon at the Carolyn Job Orthopedic Clinic. He's team physician for the L.A. Dodgers, consultant to the Anaheim Ducks, L.A. Rams, Los Angeles Kings, the PGA Tour. Dr. Elatrosh, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hello. Great to be with you.
Can you please describe for us what you see when you open up an elbow that needs the Tommy John fix?
Well, you know, we're seeing them earlier and earlier in their careers now. So, you know, oftentimes when I started doing these, when I started working with Frank Job about 25 years ago, there would be a lot more mileage on the elbows when we would get in there and fix the ligaments. So they had all of the secondary changes of bone spurs and loose bone chips in the elbow that were a result of a guy trying to pitch over a more significant amount of time with an elbow that was a bit unstable because of an injury to the ligament. And Tommy John surgeries were being done a lot by Frank Job and people like Jim Andrews, but nowhere near as much or as early in careers as they are now. So now when we're doing it, oftentimes it's on an elbow that doesn't have that kind of damage to it because they haven't been trying to pitch with it. The diagnosis is made earlier, and the treatment is a bit more aggressive earlier on to get these elbows fixed before those changes occur. However, sometimes we're seeing kids that are coming up that have been throwing year-round during their early lives since the ages before 10 and before 10 years old sometimes, and so the mileage on some of these elbows that have been throwing year-round at 17, 18, 19 is nearly as much as we used to see in guys that are in their late 20s, and that's a little bit concerning.
Can you describe how that ligament looks when you get in there? How much tear is there typically? Just a little, and you're already in there to do Tommy John, or does it have to be substantially torn?
Well, I would say, you know, occasionally we'll see the catastrophic failure where you have a real gross rupture of the ligament where it completely tears and explodes and takes some of the forearm tendons with it off the bone. And so that does occur sometimes. That's a little bit more common when somebody has been having some problems that they've been treated either with injections, previous to that. But those types of treatments are getting less common. More often what we're seeing is a partial failure of the ligament where the ligament is just getting lax, and then you have an acute on chronic situation where suddenly then the ligament pops off partially and it just can't do its job to stabilize it. So sometimes it's subtle and you don't see it immediately whenever you're looking at the surface of the ligament, but with the help of the examination and the MRI scan, we know that the ligament is bad with some real telltale signs. So, you know, occasionally you'll have the catastrophic failure, but more often than not, we're getting to these ligaments before you have that complete explosion.
Here, a little bit more from John Smoltz. Again, the Hall of Famer, 2015's Fox Sports documentary titled Driven, talked with the former Atlanta Braves pitcher. He said he might be the last Tommy John pitcher to get into the Hall of Fame.
Now with the dynamic arms that we have, they're having Tommy Johns before they reach 200 major league innings. I had 2,200 innings before my Tommy John. I think as great as of a surgery it is, it's an epidemic that we got to find out what's going to happen. And I'm fearful that the greatness of this game and the greatness of these pitchers, I don't know if we'll see another one enter the Hall of Fame.
How young does it happen? Very young. Here's Texan Zach Metzger, one of many teenage pitchers having Tommy John surgery. High school junior. Talked to Fox News Dallas about the moment his young arm gave out.
I was just pitching, and right after I threw that pitch, I felt like a little pop and continued pitching out throughout the inning, and I just couldn't throw it.
Jeff Passan, are these young pitchers being not just pitching too much, too early, too fast maybe, but are they being coached incorrectly on form? Is it an issue of form?
That's a great question, and so many people have asked me, what is ideal mechanics? And I feel like my answer is a bit of a cop-out, but to me, ideal mechanics are what allow you to stay healthy. We can't treat every person the same way and have a cookie-cutter delivery because all of our bodies are different. We have different genetics. We have different musculature. We have different tensile strength in our ligaments. We're just different people. And so I think what we should encourage is not something that everybody should be doing so much as what allows your arm to feel good at the end of the day.
But what they want is that 100-mile-per-hour pitch.
And that's the conundrum. Major League Baseball understands something that's very simple. Velocity works. Velocity gets more strikeouts. Velocity gets fewer home runs. Velocity is what they are seeking. And that's why you've seen the average Major League fastball velocity climb nearly 2 miles per hour over the last decade. Why practically every relief pitcher you see these days is throwing between 95 and 100 miles per hour. And that's the one thing that after spending almost 4 years researching, reporting, and writing this book, I can't get past. It's that Major League Baseball is not going to discourage velocity. And so long as that is the case, kids are going to be trying to throw hard, and trying to throw hard is not a good thing on a young arm that simply can't handle it.
The arm inside the billion-dollar mystery, the most valuable commodity in sports. Dr. Eletrash, what about it? Can the surgery get better? I mean, you heard John Smoltz there saying, I may be the last Tommy John pitcher to get into the Hall of Fame. And people, you know, blowing it out after 200 major league innings as opposed to 2,200 for him. Can you do a better job as a surgeon, or do they have to change the patterns of play, the mechanics of pitching to deal with this?
Well, you know, taking nothing away from John Smoltz, I mean, he's obviously one of the great pitchers in baseball history. But, you know, we're seeing so many guys, like Jeff was saying, that are now coming into baseball that have had a Tommy John done, that are performing well enough to be aces on their baseball teams. You know, one out of every four major leaguers has had or will have a Tommy John operation. And so with those numbers and with the predictability of these guys being able to play at that level, I think you're going to see guys in the Hall of Fame that have had Tommy John operations. But I also agree with Jeff that there are some aspects of the game that we just can't control that are going to keep these guys at risk for this injury. And my opinion has always been that velocity is one of the main reasons why we're seeing such an epidemic. We're seeing kids now that are 16, 17 years old that throw over 90 miles an hour, and that's not uncommon when you see the kids that are in the draft. And these, when you do that, you know that there is much more risk to that ligament when you throw over 90 than when you throw over 80. And so I think there is an emphasis on velocity. I think the kids are bigger and stronger in baseball, just like they are in other sports, and they're putting this ligament at risk. Fortunately, as far as sports operations go, the Tommy John operation has been relatively successful. We still don't get about 20 to 25% of the guys back to their previous competitive level, but when you're still batting 3 out of 4. In getting people back to their previous level of performance and competition. Mm-hmm. If you look at it compared to the other sports operations that we do, that's still considered a pretty successful result. So it's unfortunate that I don't see a change coming, because I see that these kids are able to hit these velocities that are very dangerous. But my recommendation would be to put the radar gun away. Use the radar gun only for rehab and when they're coming back to govern and limit their velocity as they're coming back from an injury. Put the radar gun away and show them how to pitch and get guys out. And I think that you'll find that they are working on their mechanics. They're learning how to pitch. They're learning how to position their pitches and place their pitches. And I think they'll be much more successful for a longer period of time. But good luck, because it's really sensational whenever you have a ton of scouts huddled around a batting cage and are watching some young phenom throw at 100 miles an hour.
Wow. Put the radar gun away, maybe, but it feels like a bad chance. Dr. Neil Atrash, super surgeon, team physician for the LA Dodgers, stepping out of the operating room today at the Carolyn Job Orthopedic Clinic to talk with us. Thank you so much for joining us from LA.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's really a bummer when it happens. Just last week, Kansas City Royals announced reliever Tim Collins would need a second Tommy John surgery after tearing his tendon again while rehabbing. He talked to the Kansas City Star about the challenges that come along with this. There's a lot of background locker room noise, but you can hear that the left-hander has a lot on his mind.
I'm still young, 26. You know, obviously you don't want to miss two consecutive years of baseball. A lot can happen in those 2 years. A lot of younger guys coming up.
You can hear the, it's got to be some kind of fear right there. Matthew in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you for calling, Matthew. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My grandfather was a pitcher for the Mud Hens in Toledo. And the doctor from L.A. hit it right on the head. The kids are not getting proper coaching. Now, he coached me through grade school and high school, and taught me the mechanics, taught me how to throw pitches where I'm not throwing a lot of pitches at velocity. But the kids that aren't being coached right, velocity is the easiest thing to learn, and you get strikeouts that way. And so you have just a ton of velocity throwers once you get up into high school, and they don't know how to save their arm. And the problem with throwing that hard is after a couple dozen pitches, your arm goes numb. And if you don't have the mentality to control your muscles when your arm goes numb, it's only relying on those tendons that hold the arm together. And it's not relying on the strength of the rest of the muscles in the arm to keep that arm together, after, because it's like a car crash. Every time you throw that ball, your arm's going from close to 90 miles an hour to zero.
But if you know the scouts in the stands are going to be reading the radar gun, isn't that velocity just irresistible to go for, Matthew?
It is irresistible because it generates strikeouts. And so the coaches, I don't think, at least when I was in high school, they were not bothering to teach these kids how to pitch properly. You have great pitchers like Madison Bumgarner who can give you the gas when he needs it, but he can also stand up there and give you 8 innings of pitching without you seeing a lot of fatigue factor, because he still has control over the muscles in his arm. And then other pitchers are just, you know, falling by the wayside after 2 or 3 seasons just because of its velocity 24/7 with them.
Velocity, and pretty soon, as you say, you can't even feel that arm. Matthew in Omaha, whose granddad pitched for the Mud Hens, what minor league team for the Detroit Tigers, I guess. Pretty hard to resist this, Jeff. We're going to talk about with Todd Coffey when we come back. He's a big figure in your book, relief pitcher, right-hander. A couple of these surgeries under his belt, knows a lot about it. Can't wait to talk with him. Jeff Passan's new book is The Arm, Inside the $1 Billion Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in sports. You can join us this hour. What do you think? Are pitchers throwing too hard, too young? Are they throwing wrong? Or is this what they're being asked to do, paid to do, push their arms beyond endurance? Got a Tommy John epidemic, 1 in 4. Dick Miller behind us here with the Curveball Blues. You can join us at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Jeff Pastin, please stand by in Kansas City. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
I got the curveballs. I got those swing and miss, the curveball blues. I got the catcalls. I got those new split-fingered fastball blues.
This On Point podcast is supported by Squarespace. If you have a passion that you obsess over, if it keeps you up at night, if you live for it, you should show it off. With easy-to-use tools and templates, Squarespace helps you showcase every detail of what drives you. Because if it's worth the effort, it's worth showing to the world. Start your free trial today. Visit squarespace.com/onpoint. That's squarespace.com/onpoint. Squarespace.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are talking almost at Major League Baseball's opening day, Monday, about the most valuable asset in all of sports, says my guest, Jeff Passan. And he's talking about the arm in baseball, the Major League Baseball pitcher's arm. His terrific new book, looking at the pressures being brought to bear on that, and almost a crisis of Tommy John surgeries and overextension going on. The book is The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. When it's done right and done beautifully, it is something to behold. October 1968, Game 1 of the World Series. Cardinals pitching great Bob Gibson struck out 17 Tigers, and the crowd went wild.
He got him! Struck him out! Look at the scene on the field. McCarver, the first run. Now his infielders all over him. A new world's record of 17 strikeouts in one game.
We know. There's little like really beautiful pitching, and some have managed to do it for a long, long time. King of the Hill, Nolan Ryan, worked that magic for 27 years. Here's a taste from a 1993 game.
Call strike three. Fastball to the outside corner, and Nolan has his fourth punch out.
But a lot of those careers being cut short, or anyway, sent down the Tommy John line now. Listeners responding here, Jeff Christella says on Twitter, yeah, but a great way to not have to worry about paying someone more every year if they can shorten those years. Does that come in here? Does it work out for the Major League Baseball if these careers get cut short, or are they more worried about the pipeline coming in if kids are already getting surgery?
I think that's a fair question. Look, when you come up in an organization, your first 6 years are the cheapest years you are going to have. The first 3 years in particular, you're getting paid the league minimum. And so as a team, you want them to perform at their absolute apex during those first few years, because you may lose them to free agency eventually. And so when you lose a year of what's considered cheap labor in Major League Baseball, that's bad for the team. And it brings up a question of moral hazard here. If teams going forward are going to try and throw their best arms as much as they absolutely can before free agency, knowing that those are the best years they're going to get from them.
I want to turn to Todd Coffey in just a second here. One call first from John in Buffalo, New York. John, you're on with Jeff Passan.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, what's your story?
I played baseball growing up. I was fortunate to kind of have my growth spurt at a young age. I was pretty successful in my town. I ended up playing at the collegiate level. But from the ages of 16 to 19, I had two rotator cuff surgeries. I was fortunate enough to never have any issues with my elbow. Mm-hmm. But I really do think it starts at a young age. I can tell you right now, I was definitely overthrown in Little League. Williamsport travel ball, summer baseball, fall baseball. You know, obviously Ohio isn't a year-round baseball state, but that doesn't mean that people don't go to lessons and indoor leagues and everything like that. So, it definitely does start at that young age. I think one of the most, important things that these kids can do is maintenance after they're using their arm. You got to ice it down. You got to run to, release that lactic acid buildup. I really do think that, you know, the aftercare after you actually are pitching and you actually have a whole game, a seven-inning game as a high school player, I think how you take care of your arm after you use it is also very, very big.
But who was looking out for you, John, or who wasn't? If you had two surgeries like that, what about the coaches? I mean, did they want your fast pitch or do they care about your shoulder, your arm?
I was a pretty fast pitcher. Again, I hit my growth spurt at a pretty young age.
Yeah.
I've been 6'2", 190 since I was 16 years old. So, yeah. I was pretty fortunate on that respect. I did have a very good pitching coach. God rest his soul. His name is Dick Schoonover from Kent State University.
Yep.
One of the best pitching coaches I've ever heard of, not to mention, had the honor of working with. And, he taught me mechanics. I didn't really throw curveballs until I was, big enough and old enough that he told me I could throw curveballs. He taught me to throw, a cutter and everything like that. But I really do think it comes down to the child not only communicating with his coach, with his parents, but, communicating with himself as well. If he feels pain, if he feels any type of tightness, sit a couple weeks out, just take it easy. But when you're that age, you care so much about, being the leader and, following through for your guys that you don't really think about the future like that. I mean, that's just not how it's
just the way it goes. And there you were with two surgeries and young, coached out of Kent State. We're going to be out of Kent State later this year. Looking forward to that. John, I appreciate your call. Jeff Passan introduced us to Todd Coffey. He knows Tommy John well. We're going to hear from him in a minute. Tell us a little bit about his story.
He's a remarkable story, actually. A kid who was drafted in the 41st round of the Major League Baseball draft. And those are where the Flyers are taken. And back then, you could do what was called a draft and follow. And that's when a player gets drafted, goes to junior college for a year, and then you see his progress and sign him the next year. And the Cincinnati Reds drafted Todd figuring he was going to be a draft and follow. The only thing they had to do was offer him a contract for $1,000 just to keep his rights. And when that happened, Todd said, okay, I'm going to sign it. And the scout said, well, wait, what? You're going to – no, that's not supposed to happen. He said, I want to play professional baseball. I'm going to sign the contract. And so the scout, Steve Kring, calls up his boss, the scouting director, Dejon Watson. Mm-hmm. And Dejon gets on the phone with Todd and says to him, son, we want to pay you a lot of money next year. And Todd says, that's okay. I want to be in a major league organization now. I'm signing the contract.
Yeah.
And so at 17 years old, Todd Coffey went to Billings, Montana. 7 years later, was up in the big leagues like he said he was going to be and stuck around for another 7 years after that.
Colorful character, 6'4", nearly 300 pounds, big shock of red hair, man who loves baseball. Could you read a little bit from The Arm, your book? Just give us a sense. This is a character, Todd Coffey.
He's the best. This is a paragraph from the first chapter. Over his 14 years in the game, Coffey had left behind an almost unparalleled trail of apocryphal stories that were actually true. Like the time he asked the Arizona Diamondbacks visiting clubhouse manager to make him a snack. He wanted peanut butter on one side, jelly on the other, two Reese's peanut butter cups in the middle, all griddle fried with butter. To this day, visiting players at Chase Field still can order the Todd Coffey sandwich. His new teammates always wondered about the extra piece of luggage he hauled from city to city. The hard-shelled suitcase carried just one item, Coffey's baseball glove.
From The Arm, inside the billion-dollar mystery of the most valuable commodity in sports, talking about Todd Coffey. Jeff Passan reading from his book there. Todd Coffey joins us right now from Forest City, North Carolina, by Skype. Relief pitcher, right-hander. He's played for the Cincinnati Reds, Milwaukee Brewers, Washington Nationals, the L.A. Dodgers. 35 years old, currently a free agent, and has had Tommy John surgery twice. Todd Coffey, thank you very much for being with us today. We're so glad to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tom.
We learn a lot about you in Jeff's terrific book. I see you here in diapers. Pitching. You got the bug as early as you can have it.
Oh, absolutely. I've loved it ever since I was a little kid.
So
being out there.
It clearly, and you haven't been a little kid for a while now. What about this surgery and what Jeff's writing about of how much it's happening? You've had it twice. How do you think about that? Was that inevitable? Could it have been different? Could you have pitched differently or been coached differently, trained differently?
Absolutely. I mean, when I first come in with the Red system, you got to remember, most of these high school kids go from a system of I'll play catch and have two games a week. I work out, but I really don't do a real structured workout. You go out and play a little catch, and then that's it. The moment I got into the professional setting, we're talking mandatory lifts, arm exercises, throwing every day, long toss every day, bullpens, and the workload is 100 times more than any high school kid has ever done. Mm. And not to mention, you're also out there trying to compete because your obviously goal is to move up in the ranks and make it to the big leagues.
Sure.
So you're going to go out there and you're going to compete and give it everything you got on top of stuff you've never done before or gotten used to. And back in 98, it really wasn't, I guess you say, put in place, systems put in mm-hmm. place to really prevent injuries. I think baseball is really young in that aspect of trying to figure out what's the right workout method for a pitcher. And I definitely believe that contributed to me blowing out my first time.
What was it like for you, Todd, when you came back after that surgery and the rehab? What was the process of rehab like? And when you came back, did you feel like you had it? Were you better than it you had been at some point before, or how did it feel?
Oh, absolutely. I was definitely better, and it was contributed to me, not one, having a ligament that's not snapped in half,
yep.
but being able to use a full year of rehab to strengthen my shoulder, my arm, my back, my legs, everything, without having to worry about competing. So I could actually be at my peak performance body-wise without having to worry about competing and getting broken down as I'm trying to get people out in games.
Jeff Passan, you clearly care a lot about Todd Coffey and his story. You render it really beautifully here. What's the lesson from Todd's story that you take, Jeff?
I think you take the lesson that stubbornness and want to and desire and competitiveness are all wonderful things, because that to me is what got Todd to the major leagues. When he was told as a 17-year-old in rookie ball by a teammate that if you make it to the big leagues, I'm going to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. That's why he's still competing now. And I find it completely admirable that he cares about this game enough that he's been through this surgery twice, that he's been through the rehab, that he's been through everything that mentally and physically it entails, and he still wants to go out there and compete and get guys out.
Sounds, Jeff, like, I mean, I get it and I admire it too, but at the same time, it can sound like you're saying, go on, get up on the sacrificial altar, lay your arm up there, blow it out, and bravo.
There is some of that. There definitely is some of that. And I think if you want to take a lesson away from the respect of guys getting hurt, it's that you have to be careful of what you do with your arm, and you have to have people around you who are going to be conscientious. That's the big, you know, that's the biggest takeaway, I think, from this book, that especially with kids, the coaches and the parents need to be involved and need to be educated. You know, one of the big issues with baseball now is that it is a culture of fear. And I'm hoping that this book helps it shift to a culture of knowledge where we actually talk about this and where we look out for not just our kids, but our friends' kids and other kids that we see, and make sure.
Is Major League Baseball getting better at that itself or not?
I think in some aspects, you know, the Pitch Smart program that I talked about earlier mm-hmm. is a good start. But when you have places like Perfect Game, which runs showcases around the country for top players and implicitly encourages them to throw absolutely as hard as they can every time they're going out there,
yep.
it's just bad for baseball.
Steve in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, you're on with Todd Coffey and Jeff Passan.
Thanks, Tom. Two questions for your guests. I'll take the answers off the air.
Sure.
One, why not use pitching machines longer in games? And number two, has there been any studies done to compare the Japanese pitchers with American pitchers? I'd like to know if there's a correlation. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, sure. Pitching machines? Okay, what are we talking about here, Jeff? Replacing pitchers with machines?
Well, kids do go on machines at pretty young ages. My son is 8 years old, and he's starting on Kid Pitch this year. And the only reason, and we discussed this a lot with the other coaches, the only reason we decided to do it this way is because every single kid on my son's team is going to pitch, meaning we can limit them to only one inning at a time. Now, you don't want to do that with a 16 or 17-year-old, but when the kid's eight and he's just starting to understand what the game is like, I don't see any harm as long as the parents are doing it the right way. As far as Japan, the sample size is too small as far as pitchers who have gone to the major leagues from Japan. But I did go to Japan for this book, and it was one of the most harrowing reporting experiences I've had in my life. Sitting there with a doctor in his office and watching child after child after broken child come in. He saw 20 patients that day. 19 of them had arm injuries. A number of them had broken elbows. Some had Tommy John surgeries on their docket at 16 years old. It was awful. And so the idea that the Japanese are doing this better than us simply is not true.
Linda in Boston. Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, if, Jeff, if you could talk, you talked a little bit about prevention efforts in the United States. I'm wondering if you can talk about what Major League Baseball is doing in places like the Dominican Republic, where they're running camps and how they're engaging families there, particularly given one of your last callers was talking about icing elbows, and a lot of families don't have access to ice because of electricity issues, and I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
You have family there? What do you know? Are they playing young, Linda?
Yes, I do. I have a lot of family there, and a lot of kids, that's their dream. I'm going to play baseball, particularly for boys. And so they're playing young. They're playing all the time.
And may not even have ice. Jeff Passant, what do you know about other countries? Dominican Republic, Linda asked about.
Unfortunately, the whole baseball system in the Dominican Republic is broken. And I'm sure we could do another hour on that, Tom, if you really wanted to. But the efforts have not translated down there yet because the system is so wildly different. In the Dominican Republic, some kids are dropping out of school as young as 10 years old and training in baseball full time with buscones is what they're called. They're essentially agents who pay for them and then take a usurious cut of their signing bonus when they're 16 years old. So I think the efforts, you know, I think Major League Baseball right now is trying its best to focus the efforts on domestic kids with the idea that as changes happen in the Dominican system with the international draft and other things, hopefully arm care prevention will be come much more commonplace down there as well.
Todd Coffey, what's your advice to a 15-year-old aspiring pitcher listening right now from all your great experience?
Not just focus on pitching in the game, but it is what you do before the game, after the game, and how you take care of your arm. There's certain ways you need to play catch after a game and certain ways you need to build up to it. Every throw you throw a baseball doesn't need to be as hard as you can.
That is the voice of experience, Todd Coffey, today with us from Forest City, North Carolina. His story and much more told really beautifully in Jeff Passant's new book, The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. Todd Coffey, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's been great to learn more about your career, and we wish you all the best going forward. Thank you so much, Todd.
Thank you very much for having me on today.
And Jeff Passant in Kansas City, terrific book, Jeff. Thanks for bringing this fully to light with us in between your covers. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Pleasure was all mine, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Passant, lead baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for being here.